Welcome everyone to DXF 2018 full year earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent background noise. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session. Please follow the instructions given at that time if you would like to ask questions. For your information, a con call replay will be available within a few hours after this conference has ended. Please visit www.dunxin.us/ir website under the event calendar section. Now, I would like to introduce the CEO, Weiqi Zhi, and CFO, CJ, also IR Manager, Claire Chen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good day to all participants, and welcome to Dunxin's 2018 earnings conference call. You may find a copy of our Form 20-F that we see in the web, in the SEC website under the ticker DXF or the IR section of our company website. Joining me today on the call is Dunxin's Chairman and CEO, Mr. Weiqi Zhi, Dunxin's Chief Financial Officer, Mr. CJ Ng, and Dunxin's IR Manager and Interpreter, myself, Claire Chen. Please note that we will be making a number of forward-looking statements today, and all such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from the expectations and assumptions mentioned today due to a variety of factors that affect the company, including the risks specified in the most recently filed Form 20-F with the SEC. Let me turn the call over to Chairman Wei, who would like to make some introductory comments. I will translate for him. Mr. Wei, please go ahead.
大家好，欢迎各位参加这次电话会议。我想对大家总结一下2018年的财务业绩，并讨论一下未来，我们对未来的展望。
Good day to everyone, and thank you for joining us on earnings call. I would like to take this opportunity to summarize the company's financial results of 2018 and the future business plan.
Dunxin
Financial is a licensed microfinance lender serving individuals and small and medium-sized enterprises in Hubei province. As we know, in China, there are a huge number of small and medium-sized enterprises, which play an increasingly important role in contributing to the national economic growth, alleviating employment pressure, and optimizing the overall economic structure. While the SMEs have the increasing needs for working capital to support their ongoing business operation, our company is positioned to offer a wide range of credit product portfolio, helping them achieve high quality and sustainable business development.
在刚刚过去的2018年，全球经济充满了不确定性，受此影响，中国经济面临着增长放缓的压力。GDP 呢，增速也下降，内需和出口增速减少，以及就业率下滑。加之今年这个金融监管的收紧和去杠杆的政策，中国中小企业在这一经济环境下面临的严峻的经营挑战，我们所服务的企业也受到了一定程度的冲击。当然，即便宏观形势不利，我们也很高兴地看到，我们的贷款利息收入从2017年的约1.2亿增长到了2018年的1.4亿，增长率有18.6%。
In the past 2018, the global economy is full of uncertainty. Against the backdrop of such global trend, the Chinese economy is also facing downward pressure. The GDP growth is slowing because of weak domestic demand and export growth, and the employment rate is also falling. Coupled with the regulatory tightening and the nationwide deleveraging policy, the SMEs face severe business challenges in its economic environment. And those enterprises we serve have also suffered a lot. Even with a volatile microeconomic environment, we are happy to see that companies' long interest income increased from about 120 million RMB in 2017 to about 142 million RMB in 2018, achieving a growth rate of 18.6%.
但是呢，公司管理层呢也发现，在未来复杂的经济环境和行业背景下，传统新的业务模式在长期内可能难以实现可持续发展。因此啊，早在2017年，征信公司就开始探索新的业务模式。经过一年半时间的深入市场调研和分析，确定了我们将开发全新的供应链金融业务模式。供应链金融是指金融机构依托供应链上下游企业间的贸易行为提供金融服务，符合国家政策扶持和大力鼓舞发展的行业。我们目前专注的是物流行业的供应链金融服务。历时半年的技术研发，征信供应链金融云平台及其首款 APP 产品货易通已于5月13日正式上线，用户可通过扫码下载 APP。
However, the company's management also noticed that under the complex economic environment and the industry background, it may be difficult to achieve sustainable development in the long run just relying on the traditional micro-lending business. Therefore, as early as 2017, the company began to explore new potential business models and finally decided to develop a new supply chain finance business. After 1.5 years of intensive market research and analysis, the supply chain finance refers that financial institutions provide financial services to support the enterprises in the upstream or downstream of the overall industrial supply chain, helping support the steady and healthy development of the underlying industry. Now, the central government has introduced many supportive policies that the emerging supply chain finance industry is expected to grow more rapidly in future. We are currently focusing on supply chain financial services in the logistics industry. It took us 1.5 years on the research and development of a cloud-based supply chain finance platform. And the first mobile application product, Haitong, was formally rolled out on May 13th. Users can download APP by scanning the QR code.
据2018中国物流与供应链金融发展报告显示，中国的公路运输行业总规模约5万亿，且大部分份额体现在中小微企业。货易通 APP 的主要潜在用户正是公路运输行业中的收货方、发货方和物流公司，旨在满足这一领域中被忽略的市场需求。
According to the 2018 China Logistics and Supply Chain Finance Development Report, the road transportation industry in China has reached a market size of about 5 trillion RMB, and most of market participants is comprised of medium, small, and micro enterprises, who might be the seller of goods, the buyer of goods, or the logistics company, or considered as the potential users of the Haitong APP that aims to meet their untapped demand in this market.
在物流运输过程中，中小企业作为供应商及发货方，其货款回收账款期通常为7到15天， 而汇通的出现能够实现供应商发货当天收到货款的愿景，极大的提升供应商资金周转效率。通过与征信金融合作，普通物流企业可嵌入金融工具，由过去的单一的物流服务升级为物流加金融加结算的综合服务，从而不断地增强物流业务物流行业的业务规模和盈利能力。
HiTown is designed to help sellers receive payment on same day of shipment by offering them short-term credit support that greatly improves capital efficiency by shortening the accounts receivable period, which traditionally lasts for 7 to 15 days. Leveraging the financial capabilities of Dongxing Financial,The logistics company will be positioned to change from a pure-play logistic operator into a comprehensive service provider by offering logistics, financial, and settlement services, thus expanding their scale of business and improving profitability.
征信供应链金融云平台基于金融科技理念，运用移动互联网、大数据、云计算、AI 等科技手段，依托先进的风险管理策略，我们这个平台还有完善的风险管理系统，包括客户自动筛选、反欺诈检测、信用评分和评估，能够大大的降低交易风险。
Dongxing's supply chain finance cloud platform is a technology-driven platform enabled by the big data analytics, cloud computing.AI, and the mobile internet technologies. The platform is also built with a sophisticated risk management system, which includes automated customer selection, fraud detection, and credit scoring and assessment that can reduce the transaction risk significantly.
随着征信供应链金融云平台和货一通 APP 的上线，标志着征信金融成功地实现了业务转型。征信金融再不是一家传统的普通的小额信贷公司，我们已经从传统信贷业务转向产业供应链服务，即从传统的端对端线下业务模式转型为 O2O 供应链金融业务模式。
The rollout of our supply chain finance cloud platform and HiTown APP marks the company's efforts of transforming from the traditional micro-lending business into the supply chain financial services, thus shifting from the offline business model to the new O2O business model.
未来，公司将陆续开发多款供应链金融产品，不断地满足小微客户的金融需求，实现普惠金融愿景，同时平台将立足湖北市场，不断地打磨汇通产品的客户体验和风险管理能力，将采取自营、并购、加盟等三种商业模式，实现全国性的业务布局。
Looking into the future, the company will continue to develop a variety of financial products in the supply chain industry to meet the increasing needs from small and micro customers.And achieve vision of inclusive finance. At the same time, deeply rooted in the regional market in Hubei province, we plan to expand nationwide footprint in the long run by the way of independent business operation, partnerships, or potential acquisitions. We'll also improve the customer and strengthen risk management capabilities.Of this new APP.
开拓供应链信贷业务对征信金融而言具有里程碑式的意义。2019年将是征信金融供应链信贷业务成型和持续深入的一年，也是我们在普惠金融领域开拓这一业务模式的关键阶段。基于我们在区域市场的领先地位、市场份额以及作为湖北省首家纽交所上市金融服务商的品牌效应，我们将利用新的业务拓展机会，不断夯实我们的市场地位，扩大服务区域，通过提供差异化的信贷产品，增加盈利能力，实现强劲的业绩增长，力争为股东带来长远的回报。 谢谢。
Samsung Financial has reached a milestone when developed the brand new supply chain finance business. The year of 2019 is a turning point for the company to build on this new business model in the inclusive finance industry. Leveraging our leadership in the regional market, the dominant market share and brand name as the first financial service provider listed on the NYSE Mainstream, we will take more opportunities to strengthen the market position and extend market presence. And by offering more differentiated products and services to increase profitability, achieve strong performance growth, and maximize shareholder value in the long term. Thank you. With that, so I would like to turn the call over to CJ, who will go through our financials. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe most of you will have more questions to ask Mr. Wei. We will take your questions after I go through the financials. As some of you may be aware, the International Financial Reporting Standard 9, IFRS 9 Financial Instruments, and IFRS 15 Revenue from Contract with Customer are effective for any period beginning on or after January 1st, 2018. These new IFRS are complex and require huge amount of historical data from 2016 to calculate the historical loss rate. Hence, for the adoption of these new IFRS standards, we engage a financial reporting expert to assist us in the implementation of these IFRS standards. The financial reporting expert is a retired ex-partner from an accounting firm who has significant experience and knowledge about the IFRS. Without going into details of this IFRS, let me briefly discuss about IFRS 9 and its implication to us. IFRS 9 outlined a three-stage model for impairment based on changes in credit quality since initial recognition. A financial instrument that is not credit impaired on initial recognition is classified in stage one and has its credit risk continuously monitored by us. If a significant increase in credit risk since initial recognition is identified, the financial instrument is moved to stage two, but is not yet deemed to be credit impaired. If the financial instrument is credit impaired, the financial instrument is then moved to stage three. Financial instruments in stage one have their estimated credit loss measured at an amount equal to the portion of the lifetime expected credit loss that resulting from default events possible within the next 12 months. Financial instruments in stage 2 or 3 have their expected credit loss measured based on expected credit loss on a lifetime basis. Hence, upon categorizing this financial instrument into stage 3, we will go through each outstanding loan one by one to identify the value of related collateral and the timing or expected realization of this collateral. Or we assess expected repayment amount from the borrower and the related timing of this repayment. This repayment amount or collateral value were then discounted using discount cash flow models to compute the value as of December 31st. And then compare this present value cash flow to the carrying value of our outstanding loan. The difference between present value, cash flow, and the carrying amount of our outstanding loans are credit impairment loss. As a result of the adoption of IFRS 9, we had a credit impairment loss of 234 million RMB as of December 31st, 2017. This amount was adjusted to the opening balance of January 1st, 2018 in accordance with the requirements of IFRS 9. There are more details of this adoption of IFRS 9 if you, any of you interested to know more. Please refer to Note 6 and Note 8 of Notes to the Financial Statement. Now, I will go to the financials in detail. First of all, interest income on loan. Our interest income on loan increased by RMB 22.3 million or 18.6% from RMB 119 million in 2017 to RMB 142 million in 2018. The increase was primarily attributed to the increase in effective interest rate from 20.4% in 2017 to 24.3% in 2018, which resulted in a 30.9% increase in interest income on loan. The increase was partially offset by a decrease in average outstanding loans during the year from 585 million in 2017 to RMB 582 million in 2018, which results in a 0.6 million decrease in interest income from loan. Interest expense on loan decreased by RMB 7.3 million or 21.6% from RMB 30.8 million in 2017 to RMB 26.5 million in 2018. The decrease was mainly attributed to a decrease in effective interest rate on borrowing from 15.9% in 2017 to 11.8% in 2018. Further, the decrease was attributed to the decrease in total borrowing during the year from a total of 641 million in 2017 to RMB 623 million in 2018. Now, all I've talked about the credit impairment loss. We maintain allowance for loan loss as presented in our financial statement at a level we consider to be reasonable by management to absorb probable loss inherent in the loan portfolio as of each balance sheet date. Our management evaluates the adequacy of the allowance for loan losses on a regular basis or more often as necessary. The allowance is based on our past loan loss history, known and inherent risks in the portfolio, adverse situations that may affect the borrower's ability to repay, the estimated value of any underlying collateral, composition of the loan portfolio, current economic condition, and other relevant factors. This evaluation is inherently subjective, as it requires material estimates that may be susceptible to significant revision as more information becomes available. Our allowance for loan losses increased by RMB 63 million from RMB 3.6 million in 2017 to RMB 66.9 million in 2018. The increase was primarily attributed to the increase in credit loss allowance for loan receivable due to collectively issued with certain loans. Although China year-on-year growth domestic GDP growth reached 6.6% in 2018, the economic and business environment for small and medium enterprises were very challenging. As a result, certain of our loan customers were experiencing financial difficulty. So approximately 698 million of our loans were credit impaired. We assess credit losses on these credit impaired loans based on assessment of recoverable cash flow under a range of scenarios, including the realization of any collateral held where appropriate. The loss provision PL represents the difference between the present value of cash flow expected to be recovered, discounted at instrument original effective interest rate, and the gross carrying amount of the instrument prior to any credit impairment. Now, net profit. As a result of foregoing, our net profit decreased by RMB 20.6 million or 71.5% from RMB 29 million in 2017 to 8.2 million in 2018. The decrease will primarily attribute to the significant increase in credit impairment loss as discussed above. Thank you. Claire?
Okay, thank you, CJ. So we will move to the next session, the Q&A session. So,
yes, thank you.
Operator?
Yes, thank you, Claire. We are now in question and answer session. If you would like to ask questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press 02. Now, please press 01 if you would like to ask questions. Thank you. If you would like to ask questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. We are now in question and answer session. Please press 01 if you would like to ask questions. Thank you. Please press 01 if you would like to ask questions. There are currently no questions at this point. I'm going to hand it over to Claire for a closing comment. Claire, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you. In closing, on behalf of the entire management team, we'd like to thank you for your interest and participation in today's call. If you require any further information or have any interest in visiting us in China, please let us know. Thank you for joining us today. This concludes our call. Thank you.
We thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may now disconnect. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you.